piercing through the globalist agenda. Welcome, Owen Schroyer.
Well, they're saying the aliens could be potentially hostile. A turd that falls out of your ass could be potentially hostile, too. So, let's just hope it's not the size of Manhattan. He might have some other problems to deal with if that's the case. But potentially hostile could be potentially hostile, folks. Anything could be potentially hostile. Now, I want to get to the rest of this news here and then open up the phone lines as we close out the InfoWars War Room for the week. I got a bit of a funny story here that we'll play a short clip. Folks, remember, we have a sale happening right now at thealexjonesstore.com, and it will come to an end this week. That's the buy one, get one free bombshell sale. Buy one, get one free methylene blue. Buy one, get one free Sheila G gummies. And buy one, get one free CMOS gummies. This sale will come to an end at the end of the week. You have just under 9 hours when you shop at thealexjonesstore.com to qualify for two raffles. That's right. The Ford F-250, we will be closing that raffle at the end of the night. But when you shop now, you're still eligible to get into that raffle and giveaway. But you'll also be entering into the 2025 Jeep Gladiator raffle giveaway. So, two giveaways right now. And you will be entered into each one. But to be eligible for the Ford F-250, you have to have your shopping at thealexjonesstore.com done by the end of the night. Now, remember, if you're a VIP member, you get bonus entries into our raffles, one of the many benefits. To learn more, go to thealexjonesstore.com/VIP to learn all about those benefits and become a VIP member. We really appreciate our VIP members. It's that support that budgets us into the future. So a young girl graduates high school, gets into college, but she can't even read. And so she's suing her high school. This, I don't know if it has ever happened before in this country or anywhere else on earth, but this is a funny one here in clip 10.
Did you ever think you'd be going to college here?
No, never. Never in a million years.
In some ways, Alicia Ortiz is living an American dream. The 19-year-old began her freshman year at the University of Connecticut in Hartford this fall. She's excited to study public policy, the culmination of hard work after moving north from Puerto Rico as a child. Do you remember when you first came to Connecticut?
Yes, I remember. I was very nervous, but I know it was going to be better opportunities for me to learn.
But Alicia says those opportunities never came to fruition. Even today, could you read this, or would it take you a long time?
It's impossible. I just see his words everywhere.
Alicia graduated from the Hartford Public School System last year, but she says today she is illiterate. She still doesn't know how to read or write. When she was in early education,
they would just either tell me to sit in a corner and sleep, or just draw pictures, flowers for them.
And when she was in high school, she relied on speech-to-text programs and other apps to read and write essays. So if you had an assignment where you had to write something, you'd open up a document like this and then do what?
I would go here to use the text-to-speech.
It says dictate.
Dictate, yep. I love pizza.
This is how you would do your assignments.
And then...
Cats of the World VAK sporting a twin-prop airplane.
If you had to read something, that's how you do it. She said her mother, who does not speak English well, tried to get answers.
She advocated so much. She went to the school. The principal will promise her that they will do better. And sometimes there will be people from the district or the directors promising her that they will do better.
Now, Alicia is suing the Hartford Board of Education and the city for negligence.
I'm speechless. I don't know what to say about that. I will give her credit to be able to graduate for the work she put in, but what the hell?
It's almost poetic, the products that we sell, because yes, they are the best. Yes, it is the best price for the highest quality. Yes, they are third-party tested. It's almost poetic because as we advocate for humanity, what we sell to you is that which makes you or allows you to make yourself a better version of yourself. Whether it's getting the methylene blue, which helps you with focus and energy and mental clarity, or ultimate life force, which makes your body healthier in so many ways I don't have the time to explain to you. Whether it's the Shilajit that gives you incredible vitality, or the ultimate burn, which ensures that your metabolism is optimal, or the optimal human, which is everything the body needs. You see, we're fighting for your mind, your body, and your soul, not just with the products that we sell, but with the message of this network. We have to have the truth. We have to have freedom of speech. We have to have our rights, because, folks, we're about ready to go into an artificial intelligence war, into a space war, the likes of which humanity couldn't even dream of, even in science fiction. So please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now, not just for your mind and your body, but for your species.
Covered his fair game, including golf. Thank you, President Trump. 877-789-2539 is the number. Number on the screen. 877-789-2539. A couple other stories here before we start taking calls. This was from that executive order we covered yesterday, which I think is a very important one. Now, actually executing this is going to be tough. There's no denying it. President Trump's new executive order will essentially override the laws that closed the mental asylums in the 1960s, allowing states to once again involuntarily reinstitutionalize people deemed a danger to themselves or others. And then exact text from this executive order reads, in appropriate cases, the reversal of federal or state judicial precedents and the termination of consent decrees that impede the United States policy of encouraging civil commitment of individuals with mental illness who pose risk to themselves or the public or are living on the streets and cannot care for themselves in appropriate facilities for appropriate periods of time. So this is a humanitarian issue. It's a society issue. It's a cultural issue. Everybody knows exactly what it is. You know, most specifically, if you live in a major metropolitan area, you know what this is about. So, but okay, how do you handle it? That's the question. You don't want to be heavy-handed, but yet you might have to be. Let's just use a practical example that I see here in Austin all the time. In fact, there's a very popular breakfast spot downtown. It's one of my favorite breakfast spots here. But, you know, there's a lot of homelessness in the area. And just the other day, it's like people got mad at me for posting the photo of the guy. But, I mean, driving to get breakfast, and I'm sitting at the intersection, and a guy walks in front of my car at the red light, clearly mentally disabled. In fact, I think he just must have just got out of the hospital because he looked like he had a little hospital band on. Clearly not well, and stops in the middle of the street, and he craps his pants. Just right there, craps his pants. And then shuffles along. So this is clearly an individual that cannot care for himself. And it's not something where I'm like, oh, look at this guy pooping his pants on the street, ha ha, like point left. No, I mean, it's sad. It's very sad. It's very sad for him. It's very sad for the city. And I don't want to see it. So that would be an example of an individual who poses a risk to himself and the public and cannot care for himself. So you cannot have people like this living on the streets, folks. You just can't. So now what do you do? What do you do? Do you send a van out there and have some people in coats and gloves, scoop them up, throw them into a car, take them to the institution? How do you deal with it? It's a serious question. But it's like, you know, there's different classifications you could even say, but it's like somebody like that that clearly cannot take care of themselves. If you're walking around the streets of a major city and pooping in your pants and then walking along like it's no big deal until you find a street corner to take a nap on, you can't take care of yourself. You don't belong in public. And the humane thing to do is to take you into an institution. That is the humane thing to do, where somebody can care for you and maybe give you a chance at some semblance of a normal life, a productive life, a purpose-filled life, if that's possible. If not, at least we can put you somewhere where you have a bed and a toilet. So what do you do? Is it like a program where you give them two opportunities? And it's like the first time you say, all right, here's the deal. You're out here walking around defecating in the streets. You're clearly a threat to the public and you can't care for yourself. So here's a warning or a citation or whatever. Maybe you appear in front of a judge or something else just to say, okay, are you wiping your ass? Are you using the toilet? Or if you don't, and we see you again, we're going to come and take you to the mental institution. Is that a way to handle it? So that's like one class where it's like clearly mentally ill and needs help. Then you've got your drug addict, aggressive drug addict types that you just kind of don't know what they're going to do. So it's like, okay, well, what do you do with like the aggressive drug addict types that like to lurk around and hang around? Obviously, they're a threat to the public. Obviously, they're not making us feel safe or comfortable. So how do you handle them? Same thing. You say, hey, listen, you're out here clearly on drugs. You're out here clearly just harassing the public, making people feel uncomfortable. So you either clean up your act and you can go to a judge in 2 weeks and explain how you cleaned up your act, or we're going to come find you and institutionalize you and you're going to have to sober up. Is that how you do it? And then after they get the warning, do you come scoop them up? So there's all kinds of these different types. It's like we've got, and it's not unique to Austin. I'm just so sick of it. It's like every stoplight downtown, there's some guy that wants to clean your windshield. And I don't want you to clean my windshield. And they come up and they just start cleaning your car. And they just start shaking your car. Some of them are like, it's just like, dude, don't touch my freaking car. It's like, yeah, I want that. If you want to go out and try to have a little side business cleaning car windows and you're somewhat respectful and you just walk up next to the window and, you know, people see you have the squeegee, and they either say, move on, or yeah, whatever, clean my window. Okay. They just walk up to your car and they just start cleaning it. They just walk up to it and they just start cleaning it, climbing on it. It's like, no. No, get off the car, go into an institution. You clearly have no social decorum at all. You're a threat to the public. So I would like to see, maybe they'll kind of do a test case with this in D.C. And Trump kind of hinted at that after he landed in Scotland, and he said, well, yeah, because it's really bad at Lafayette Park there. Like, that's another one. What do you do about the people that build the tent cities? What do you do about the people that live in the huts? It's like, you can't make homelessness a crime. It's not a crime. You know, you can't just start picking up everybody that's, you know, roaming the streets or living in the streets. So it's like, that's a tough one. But it obviously needs to be done. I mean, it has to be done, folks. It's so bad. We've let this thing get so out of control. The humane thing to do is to stop it. Give them a purpose-filled life. Get them so they can use a toilet. Get them so they can take a shower. Get them so they can have an opportunity to get sober. But then how do you do it without it looking authoritarian, without it being too heavy-handed? Because then you know what's going to happen. It's going to turn into a political football, and they're going to say, look at authoritarian President Trump. Look at what he's doing to the poor homeless. The poor homeless? These people are walking around in crap-filled britches, high all day, with no purpose in life. What do you mean? We're trying to help them. So you know if you handle this wrong one time, that becomes the narrative. But it has to be done. So I'm going to be interested to follow that. Maybe they test it, D.C. area, see what they can do. Maybe they just test it at Lafayette Park, see what they can do, what works, what doesn't. But this is so, it's so long overdue. It's so long overdue. And I hope it's nothing but success. And if you do it right, everybody wins. If you do this right and you have success, everybody wins. The people that are vagrants and mentally ill and deranged that are out on the streets harassing everybody, if you can help them, they win. And then everybody else that frequents the cities and walks the cities and shops and goes to dinner and everything else, they win because you have a cleaner city. You're not feeling uncomfortable. I wonder, and you know this exists, how many people, specifically with women, how many people will go out downtown somewhere and you just have one bad experience? Just all it takes is one sometimes with a vagrant out there, and you just never want to go back. It only takes one. And I hear stories like that all the time, actually. In fact, we've got Brianna Morello, who hosts a show here on Saturdays now, and she may be breaking this tomorrow, so I'm not trying to scoop her, but tune in tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Central, to see this. She gets harassed in Dallas, and she just got harassed by a guy in Dallas outside of her apartment. She just went to the police to get the video footage, so now she has video footage of this guy attacking her, harassing her. Another guy ended up stabbing a woman. So it's like, that happens one time and you don't want to go back out. That happens one time and you don't want to go to the restaurant downtown. You don't want to go to the ball game. So it's gotten out of control. I'm glad President Trump is addressing this. And if it's successful, everybody wins. Everybody wins. But there's no doubt it's not going to be, you got to handle this the right way. You got to handle it the right way. All right, let's go to the phone lines. And let's go to James in Idaho. James, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, hello. Hello, Owen. I wanted to point out about the girl who says she can't read. Hello?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So I find that a little bit difficult to believe because I hear the way she talked and her dictation is very good. Okay. And I'm almost sure that can only come from a form of reading and writing or in some degree or at least conversations with people. And for her to have that vocabulary that she has, it also seems like it's a little bit hard for her not to understand that she can't read. I just find it a little bit difficult.
So wait, am I hearing you right? You think it's a scam?
Well, no. I'm not saying it's a scam. I don't want to, you know, belittle the girl or anything like that. I just hear her dictation, the way she announces words, and the way she, the vocabulary that she has, and it seems to me that I believe that she can read more so than she says she can. That's all I'm saying.
Well, here's now, a question.
You mind if I
don't know.
Maybe
I don't know. They were kind of unclear about whether she's fluent or literate in any language, like say Spanish. A lot of people, most people in Puerto Rico speak English too. But the thought that came to my mind was, well, okay, you got into the University of Connecticut. I'm pretty sure they make you take an SAT to get in. So it's like, how do you even take a test if you can't read? They don't let you have your phone in there translating.
I agree. That's another point. You mind if I mention something else about Mr. Moore, Dr. Moore in Utah, Draper, Utah?
You're talking about Dr. Kirk Moore, that the DOJ dropped those charges because he was saving people from
the
vaccine?
Yes. The United States Post Office, roughly in 2020, when COVID first came out, they, if I'm not mistaken, they don't have to follow the shots. They don't have to receive the shots or any other thing regarding COVID. They're exempt, is what I'm trying to say. Okay, and I just wanted Dr. Moore, Draper, Utah, and Alex to give them that information that the United States Post Office, if I'm in your crew, could check it out if they're exempt from the shots, because he was being in trouble because he was helping people not take the shots, so to speak. Okay, but they dropped the charges, like you said. Okay. But I just wanted to point out that the United States Post Office in roughly 2020, when COVID-19 started, okay, was also exempt from taking all the members of the post, not just one or two, but like, let's say 1,000 or 10,000, whatever's in the post office. Okay, they were allowed not to take the shot. They were exempt from taking the shot. And if your crew wants to follow up on that.
Yeah, you know what? Now I actually recall that, James, and I thank you for the call. Now I recall that because at the time, We were looking at the post office workers as one of the anomalies in the logic, in that they were still working at the time. So it's like, if anybody's going to be spreading a virus around, it would be the people going door to door. Of course, I wasn't supporting shutting anybody down or targeting postmen. But it was like, okay, the postmen are still going around and nobody's stopping that. And then they did the same thing with the vaccines. And we were like, well, what the hell? How does this work? So, yeah, it's funny that you bring that up. Just trying to relive all that madness is like surreal. It's like you can't even, it's like there's something, I don't know, am I alone? It's like there's something in my brain that just wants to like reject it. It's like I don't even want to recognize that it even happened. It's like we were all there, we witnessed it, I remember it. But there's some weird block. It's like it's like an involuntary brain mechanism that has just decided we're just going to box this up and just not this. You can't really get access to this. It's like I have to really think about it. Like most stuff that I read or experience, I can like quick draw and just be like, boom, quick draw it. But for some reason, with all the COVID madness, I have to actually kind of really sit and concentrate and unpack that box and be like, oh yeah, this is everything that happened. Like they shut down the country, man. They went crazy with the vaccine mandates and the masks and everything else. So I don't know. Maybe that's just me, but it's weird. It's like I can't quick draw that stuff. But you bring it up, I can go into that little box my brain has put it in and unpack it and recall it. By the way, on that issue, the crew just found this. So now apparently in Connecticut, the tests are optional. I mean, I don't even care. College is such a joke anyway. So I'm not even going to really... I don't have much care or concern. So, but I guess they're now saying you don't even have to take these tests. So the whole thing is just a joke, man. Honestly, higher education is such a ripoff, such a joke, such a waste of time. There's very few degrees that are even that even matter anymore. And there's obviously some careers that you do need to go to college and get some experience. Most of this stuff you don't. It's not worth the money. It's not worth the time. You'd better off spend 4 years even just going job to job until you find something you like or get an opportunity, honestly. It's like if you're an engineer or, you know, an astrophysicist, you know, stuff like that, okay. But even like really smart people in those fields can learn it on their own. Plus the big life hack now, most college courses are available on YouTube. So you can make your own college schedule and just go. It's basically on YouTube. But, you don't even have to take the test anymore. The old tests. Let's go to Dallas in California. Dallas, you're on the air. Go ahead. Dallas going once. Dallas going twice. Well, Dallas, we gave it a shot. All right, let's try Christopher in New York. Christopher, go ahead.
Yes. Owen, the mercury in my blood pressure machine exploded when I saw that clip about that bill that I think it was in the House of Representatives in that clip.
Yeah, Gottlieb and Bacon co-sponsoring it, probably written by the ADL.
Yes, and they all had that little smirk like the Prime Minister Netanyahu.
Oh.
That little smirk. And my blood pressure, the machine broke. I can't believe this. Now, I hope it goes to the Supreme Court very quick and it's turned down, because what gives the right of these foreign people, Israel, which is a foreign country, to dictate in this country like this to get rid of our First Amendment rights?
Is Jonathan Greenblatt an Israeli citizen? Guys, see if he's an Israeli citizen or if he's a dual citizen or what his deal is. Because that's the big thing. Like, they do that with AIPAC, and they're like, oh, no, these are Americans. Stop playing this game. American Jews have loyalties to Israel. It doesn't mean they're bad people. I'm just sick of people that don't deal in reality, man. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Anyhow, I hope these things go to the Supreme Court quickly if they do pass, and they strike it down. What if they don't?
You know, I don't think it'll pass. I want to think that it won't pass. I want to believe that. But I agree, and I said that when the first bill started passing. And if you recall, I said specifically, it'll be a Jewish lawyer. It'll be a Jewish lawyer that ends up fighting against the anti-Semitism speech laws in a great case of irony.
One thing. I'm 77 years old. I've been around for a while in New York City. There were children that grew up that did sue public schools for not being educated properly, that they couldn't read or write. But this was a while back. But it was done before. I don't know what the results were, but it has been done before.
You're talking about cleaning up the streets?
No. About children who were said they didn't get the proper education.
Okay, hold on. I'm sorry, Chris. I had the crew in my ear, and they had the Jonathan Greenblatt thing up to see if he was a dual citizen. He was born in Connecticut, so he is an American. But he always wears the Israeli, like, you know, lapel stuff. So, but I just, that's why I didn't hear you, because I had the crew in my ear and that story up. So go on with the schools, though.
Oh yeah, no. About in the 60s or so, there were certain people in the New York City area that graduated in, you know, high school, and then they went on, and they couldn't read and write. And eventually, they did get lawyers and sue. And I think some of these people won. So it has been done before.
Mm.
Now, that, like that person said, this one was a smart cookie. She wasn't no dummy, so we don't know.
Yeah, that's one way to put it. That girl's obviously smart, or resourceful at least. She's very resourceful. But how do you, that is, I mean, okay, we know how she got through high school with being illiterate, but it's just like, but by the time you get to high school, you're supposed to know how to read. So it's also like, well, that's not the high school's job to teach you how to read.
Do you know something? There's a famous actor, and I think it's Lawrence Hendrickson something. I forgot the name. He's in a lot of horror films. I think it was him who admitted about 20 years ago, as he was an actor and progressing, he couldn't read or write either. And then he learned eventually, but the thing is, he admitted it. I don't know if that was the right name, but there are people that went through half a life getting through like that. And then eventually they did learn to read and write, you know. So I don't know. It's a strange thing.
Yeah. All right, Chris, thanks for the call. That's going to close out this segment. Final segment on the other side of this break. We got more callers on the line, a couple other headlines to cover. We'll get it all done.
Huge announcement, ladies and gentlemen. I am beyond excited about this. I've wanted this knife for a year. It's super high quality. They finally got the right supplier and a bunch of them. It's in a beautiful keepsake black box with my signature in silver lettering on the top. And when you go inside, this incredible combat battle dagger, limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger, a high-tech, super high-quality sheath with a high-tech clip under your belt or your pants. And it's got a special system where the knife doesn't come out when it's upside down. It takes a little pull to get it out. It is amazing. This is, in my opinion, the very best defense battle dagger you can get. It's an incredible price for $79.99 right now. This knife by itself in store sells for $100 every day, but we bought 5,000 of them, so got the price down really low wholesale, so we can pass that on to you, and the profit we make goes in to fund this operation. So you don't just get a great defensive system for yourself and your family, great in your car, great on your side, great in your purse, your glove compartment, also skin a buck with it, whatever you need. This is an amazing knife. You not only, though, get something to defend yourself, you defend the Republic in the information war by funding this operation. So get your limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger at thealexjonesstore.com right now, and it keeps this operation on the air. This isn't just a blade, it's a symbol of freedom. The limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger is forged by patriots ready to defend the Republic from the globalist agenda, featuring a double-edged black-coated blade for unmatched durability and precision. This dagger is built to last. On one side is etched my signature, while the other side proudly bears 1776, a reminder that the spirit of revolution lives on stronger than ever. With its ergonomic non-slip grip designed ready for any mission, the dagger isn't just a tool, it's a statement. Whether you're adding it to your collection or keeping it close as a symbol of resistance and for defense, this blade is for those who know that the answer in 1984 is 1776. Get yours now. And then, we are announcing a limited sale, the Power Drive bundle of Power Plant and Methyl Drive, which goes incredibly good with Methylene Blue. And both of these give you incredible natural energy, clarity, and focus. But you mix them together with Methylene Blue, I will tell you, in Chase Geyser's observation himself, 10 times stronger than Turbo Force. Did you hear what I just said? 10 times stronger than Turbo Force. Get yours now, discounted massively, 50% off when you get them together. 50% off on the Power Drive bundle for a limited time, 1 week, at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds this operation, 1776 worldwide.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
big. My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. So there's a conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. Looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalist in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
Healthy people, this is all for you. Palestinian people, this is all for you.
Yeah. All right. That would be Rashida Tlaib banging a kitchen pan for the Palestinians. I mean, that's all you got? What do you? Would you go into the Capitol cafeteria and pull out one of those trays and a spoon? And you're saying you're just going to bang it on the steps for the Palestinians? All right. Maybe they heard you. Maybe you gave them a little more courage. How about that? By the way, Ryan Routh, or Ruth, or however he pronounces his name, makes first appearance in court representing himself. So he filed to represent himself. He didn't like his lawyers, the court-appointed lawyers. Judge Cannon granted him that, but said that he has to keep the court-appointed lawyers in there with him, but he can represent himself. So this case continues to be weirder and weirder, and now he's representing himself. So, but we're going to probably just be told these people acted alone, and there's no connection. No connection to any foreign countries or anything, so just let it go. Just let it go. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez lost a battle after an ethics complaint. AOC broke House rules to attend Met Gala with her beard. Or is she the beard? How does that go? Riley Roberts, her husband. She is forced to pay an additional $2,700 for the tax the rich gown and other accessories. Ooh. But she didn't file. It should have been more than that. Because when they get into the story in the New York Post, yeah, she got quite a bit of, how should we say, financial benefits from that whole stunt. So, but only a $2,700 fee. By the way, you know, I don't really buy into all of this hype and propaganda that they're trying to get people to care about the WNBA. But I got to say, some of it is a bit entertaining. For example, Sophie Cunningham, who's essentially Caitlin Clark's bodyguard, you know, cute blonde. And she shoots a video, because this is, honestly, the new thing with the WNBA, and it's probably the only hope that they have, is, you know, just get some good-looking women to start doing, you know, Instagram stuff. And so that's what Sophie Cunningham kind of does. So that might be the only hope that they have. But she shoots a video on Instagram basically making fun of referees, which nowadays in professional sports is like, no, no, no. You're not allowed to do that. I mean, you say something negative about the refs in the NBA or the NFL, you're getting a huge fine. So it's like a no-go zone now. You're not allowed to be critical of the refs anymore. Well, she does this joke video. So she gets fined. This is hilarious. A $500 fine. I mean, my God. A $500 fine. Can you imagine? We're fining you $500 for doing a video making fun of a referee. $500. Oh, that's funny. That is funny. And then it's like they had to see what they were doing. They had to know what they were doing. They come out with a new ad campaign for the WNBA. And they put it on billboards, and they put it on the side of buildings, banners, social media. And the slogan, the new WNBA slogan is, and I kid you not, let them cook. In other words, get in the kitchen. Get in the kitchen, woman. So I can't tell. Was this an oversight, or was this intentional? You didn't see where this was going, really? $500 fines and let her cook. Get in the kitchen, woman. Hey. Put down that ball and make me a sandwich. Let her cook. Yes, I know. It's like a popular saying amongst the kids, let them cook. Still, that's hilarious. Even, you know, even the official White House social media account put something up today that was just so childish. I'm like, what are you doing? It was a picture. It was a pretty cool picture of President Trump getting on Marine One. He's got his fist in the air. He's like, ugh. And they posted the caption, it gives Commander-in-Chief. Oh, my God. Do we still have the same, like, gay guy in the pantsuit running this White House social media account? What is going on with this? It gives Commander-in-Chief. Stop it. Stop talking to us like we're 12 years old. You're embarrassing us. Cringe is what they call that. They call that one cringe. Lee Zeldin, another victory, a small victory, but we'll take them all. Make gas cans great again. You know, they signed these laws where you have like all these weird knobs, and I don't even know what goes on with these gas cans anymore. Like, you need an instruction manual just to finish it, just to figure it out. So Lee Zeldin is giving you back great gas cans, meaning just a normal gas can where you put gas in and you pour it out. And you don't have to, like, insert a code or, like, do a secret handshake to get it to open up. It's like, it's a Friday. Why not? Just let it. It's like, you know, it's like trying to figure out, well, we'll just leave it at that. We'll just go ahead and leave it at that. Gas cans used to pour gas, now they just dribble like a child's sippy cup. The Trump's EPA's message to gas can makers, vent the darn can and let it flow, baby, flow. It's really simple. I just want a gas can that I can put gas in and take gas out. I don't want this thing like some confusing machinery where I need a manual. So, okay. I'll take this small victory. I'll take it. Democrats are panicked right now, folks, over the reverse gerrymandering. Headline in the New York Times, Democrats have few tools to counter GOP redistricting. And really what they're saying is the Democrats gerrymandered so that they could steal at least a dozen seats per election cycle in the House. And that's what they did. Here's a perfect example, by the way. We should dot cam this if you guys don't have it up. These are the Texas districts. Now, this was an issue vote that you have, so it was all red here. But, okay, these are the Texas districts. Do you see District 28 there? Do you see this? Do you see this district? Who drew this district? What type of a clown? I'm not trying to be rude here, but, I mean, this looks like someone with Parkinson's drew this up, like severe. So, What even is this? So, but this is what they do. They siphon. This would all be red. But they siphon just enough votes out of the major metropolitan areas right here in North Austin. They siphon just enough of a percentage of votes so that this district goes blue when it would normally be red. This is how they steal seats. Even look at this one. Look at even this one. They're siphoning votes out. Look at this. District 24 goes all the way over here into kind of the greater North Austin area. So they try to siphon off votes, folks. So now they're going to redistrict Texas. The Democrats could lose 4 to 5 seats in Texas. If they redistrict Illinois and Maryland, there could be a couple more that flip there as well. This is the kryptonite. And with all the political issues that normal election cycles, we would see the Republicans lose House seats. If they reverse gerrymander what the Democrats have done, that could save the midterms. That could save the midterms. Could be the only hope we get. That's a clown map, bro. That's a crime, whoever drew that map. You also have Shiloh Marks from Clean Up the California Rolls, who is stating California removed 3.1 million ineligible voters. So they made sure to delay that after the presidential election, by the way. California has removed 3.1 million ineligible voters. Kamala only won the state by 3.2 million. So that could put California back in play. And I think it puts a couple of these districts back in play. You know, we've always thought that the most voter fraud happened in California, and maybe we're about to find out that that is the case. Just maybe. You know, Tim Burchett keeps it simple and keeps it right, as he posted this morning. Why can't we fix some problems in Washington, D.C.? Because too many folks are getting rich off of it. That's why. Tim Burchett. One of the good guys. One of the good guys. All right. Let's go back to the phone lines and go to Jeff in Dallas. Jeff, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Owen. Jeff Lytle here. First-time caller, long-time listener.
All right. Thanks. Good to have you.
All right. I was calling in, just real quick. Some of my favorite products. I love I don't hear it often enough, is Ultimate Fish Oil. That's one that I love, and I just started doing the methylene blue. I love the products you all have. But the reason why I was calling was to the segment you had about the girl who got into college but wasn't able to read.
Yeah.
I have a son who's teaching middle school history, and just started right after the COVID time period. And he's teaching like 6th, 7th, 8th graders. And he's saying not all of them, but some of them are coming in and they can only read at like 2nd and 3rd grade level.
Is this like an inner city school?
It is not. I mean, it's kind of a suburb of Dallas. I mean, it's a nice area. It's upper middle class. Now, he is teaching at a Title I school.
I've heard of these problems. I've witnessed these problems in inner city schools. I certainly have seen that. But usually it kind of just remains in more inner city situations where teachers are just trying to get through the day.
Yeah, I would not compare it to an inner city school, but I think it does have some challenges compared to, what I would say a normal school upbringing is. But he says one of the big problems is the grade schools continue to just graduate kids and matriculate them up through the different grades, and regardless of their performance.
So it's like they won't hold them back?
Right. They won't hold them back, and they give them accommodations, and the accommodations they'll give them is they'll allow them to use their cell phone to do speech to text.
Yeah,
and,
like that girl was doing.
Exactly. And it's fairly common. He says there's a lot of kids that are on those accommodations that really probably don't need to be on them. They just need extra help.
Well, it's another sign and symptom of what's happening with our education system, and it's going the wrong way. And it's been led by the left. It's been led by the liberals and the Democrats for far too long. And so that's what happens. Just like everything else they get their hands on, they just destroy. So now kids can't even read. Thanks, Democrats. But, maybe the Democrats prefer it, because if they could read and have some like historical comprehension or political comprehension or current events comprehension, well, then they might not be liberal Democrats. So maybe the Democrats did this by design. They want dumb people because dumb people vote for Democrats. All right, Jeff, thanks for the call. Is that a conspiracy theory, or is there enough evidence to say, nope, I think we might be onto something here? Let's go to, is it Dama in West Virginia, or Doma, or Dama, West Virginia? Go ahead.
Hi, this is Donna from West Virginia. And what I'm going to say is about the homelessness. The thing is that we do need to do something, because I personally have lived in. I'm sorry.
You all right there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I've lived in 5 states. I'm a senior citizen. And the problem is that, like in Florida, they're arresting, like right now, homeless people and putting them in jail for nothing. only because they're homeless. And then they shuffle them from one area, like you were talking about down there. They shuffle all these people every 30 days. They move them. And then the shelters in every state I've been in are worthless because you have to leave there by 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning and go somewhere all day long. And then you can't check back in until 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening. If you don't have no place to go, you don't have...
Do you think opening the institutions again is a solution?
Yeah, but there's no institutions.
Well, that's what they're trying to do. Part of this bill is to reopen the institution so that you do have somewhere to live, basically.
The only way to do this is I really think that they should consider taking over the prisons and turning them into.
It's kind of a similar operation, honestly, except, you know, you don't treat them like criminals. You don't cuff them everywhere they go and have all the prison guards. But it'll be, you know, I think operationally it'll probably be similar to a prison. But obviously you'll have more freedom to move about and you won't get cuffed and treated like a criminal. But you kind of have to run it, at least, you know, as far as some standards are concerned, probably in a very similar way. But, yeah, they had the similar problem here after they moved everybody where – they were trying to either they would arrest certain homeless people that were known, you know, they were a known issue, or when they made it illegal to camp out in certain places, they would write them ticket after ticket. But of course, they can't pay the tickets, so they ended up just filling the jails. And they said, "Well, we don't want to fill the jails with homeless people." So, look, I'm just glad that the administration is trying to address this. I hope for the success for everybody involved in this because it will be a win-win-win-win-win across the board for everybody if this is successful. But there's no doubt the situation is so bad that it's going to be, you know, something – there's going to be mistakes. There's going to be a learning curve to try to do this right. But I think it just has to be done. It has to be addressed, and ignoring it and doing nothing about it is obviously a problem, and it's just made it worse. Thanks for the call, Donna. I'm going to try to take as many calls here. Let's go to Darla in California. Darla, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Trump's deal with Australia that they're going to send 75%. Well, they already send 75% of their beef to us, and I'm wondering if this deal is some sort of distraction because they don't have beef really to send to us. And I think he's trying to distract us from Epstein and things like that.
Somebody brought that up to me. I haven't seen too much about this. I don't see the administration making a big fuss of it. They may have made a statement on it. We used to have an Australian rancher on the show quite frequently. If you've been listening for a long time, we haven't had her on in a long time. I think she might still be doing journalism based out of Australia. I don't know. But, yeah, she used to talk about that and different things they were trying to do in that beef industry. I haven't heard much about that. I know they have very high-quality beef there. They have some of the highest standards there. So it's people want Australian beef, but as far as exactly what you're talking about, I haven't seen much about that in the news, and I mean you say it's meant to be a distraction for Epstein. I don't know. I think they're doing other things. If they're trying to distract from Epstein, it's not Australian beef. Otherwise, I think more people would hear about it. By the way, this just broke. Thank you for the call, Darla. So we're getting more of an understanding about what went down in these meetings with Maxwell and the DOJ. Ghislaine Maxwell offered conditional immunity in DOJ interviews, according to the most recent reports, and basically she's in there with limited immunity now, meaning I guess what they're saying is she's singing like a canary, or at least that's what they're hoping. So maybe that gives a little bit more of a window into understanding, because clearly the DOJ still spiked the investigation whenever it was originally happening with Epstein and with Maxwell. So then you look back at Maureen Comey, and maybe it's her spiking these things, at least in the Maxwell case. But the DOJ clearly was spiking these cases. So now they're doing the investigation. But why? Okay, so Maxwell needs limited immunity. So I guess she's going to potentially be admitting to crimes that they didn't charge her with. And the idea is that she's going to answer questions about Epstein clients or Maxwell clients or who they were trafficking girls to or maybe even doing financial deals to. But it looks like Maxwell got into the Epstein world after he kind of did all of his financing, as they say. But okay, they're saying, look, we'll give you some immunity here. We want you to sing. We want to know about these clients. So we'll see what comes out of this. But again, I don't want to let it slip through the cracks that this is embarrassing for the DOJ, that they clearly, and they just did it it just happened with Diddy too in New York. They clearly were not doing an investigation. They clearly narrowed this thing down as slim as possible to only focus on the smallest things and get a charge and then not do an investigation. Like, who was Epstein doing the money deals with or for? And who was Maxwell sex trafficking for? So it's like they didn't want to investigate that. Oh, but now supposedly we're going to get that investigation. So this is going to be interesting. There's no doubt about that. So it's not like the story is going anywhere now. It'll just get bigger now, I would say. All right, let's go to Steve in Indiana. Steve, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, and this is Steve from Indiana. I'm calling in regards to do two different things. One was I went to college, lost my Montgomery GI Bill post 9/11. I did the seat time. For those that did, it was Sweet versus Cardona, class action suit. VA form 22-0989 for all those that were part of that and that lost a lot of their life. That's one topic they can go look at. The other one is the Epstein list. Why is nobody talking about Pritzker's cousin that owns Hyatt Hotels? And he was paying the hush money, from my understanding. There was questions given to the governor, Pritzker, about that maybe 2-3 years ago. He denied it, even knowing about it. Somebody's got to ask him why he's not talking about it now.
Well, maybe this name comes up with Maxwell.
The other thing is I got two 11-year-old girls here that would like your autograph.
Two of them? Are they twin daughters?
They are. And
very cool.
They are very big listeners. I try to expose them. And I was wondering, is there any possibility that you guys could start something for the younger generation, similar to like Rush Limbaugh? He had a little thing there. We could get the younger generations learning about what's going on.
Well, I'll tell you what, Steve, you know, we're like just kind of fighting just to stay on air. So it's hard to go into new endeavors like that. If you want to send something to our P.O. box, I'd be happy to autograph it. Just send, you know, send whatever it needs to be returned in, an envelope or whatever it is. I'd be happy to sign that and send it back to you guys. We really do love our young listeners, and so that's great. Trying to keep your kids up to date on the real world, real current events, and on the right side of history. Thank you for the call, Steve. That does it for this week.
Just got in my methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, USP grade from the Alex Jones store. com. And I've heard all the rants and raves about this. I'm real interested to see how I'm going to feel. I'm going to do a third dropper and then some water right now. And I am going to see. Yeah, that's plenty. Maybe that's a little bit more. I'm going to mix this up. And pretty excited to see how this is going to work. So after I fully drink this, I will let everybody know the effects of, hopefully, of what is the unlimited power. What's going on, Xers? Jay Rocket here. Just giving y'all an update. It's been an hour past doing the one dropper of the ultramethylene blue USB grade, the AlexJonesStore.com. Currently at the gym right now. And it's hard to explain what I feel, other than I do feel the mental clarity. I don't have any cloudy thoughts. My focus seems relaxed, but very on point. And the energy kind of feels clean. No jittery, things like that. I haven't really felt any tingling or anything. Maybe if I'll need to probably take an extra dropper next time. This is on an empty stomach as well, so definitely feel just cool, calm, and collected, but very focused, very centralized.
is a very calm Zen feeling. So if you haven't gotten to try this stuff yet, you'll need to go to the thealexjonesstore.com and get your methylene blue today.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.